Hi, I'm Richard Kind, and you're listening to the CVH Podcast. We're certainly not going to spank them, did you say?
Yes. Yes. Wednesday, March 27th. How's everybody doing? You're listening to the CVH Podcast. Welcome. I've been going through the top 10. I'm sure a few of you have noticed. I've been Instagramming the top 10, and then I got a little bored with it because we're starting to get redundant. I thought I was being boring. You ever get that thing where you're like, I'm going to commit to this one thing, and then halfway through you're like, this is stupid. Anyway, we got to number two. We haven't done number one yet. I think we all know who that is, the king of the internet. Yeah, I've been just sort of counting him down as a filler while I've been sort of on break. I'm broadcasting today from an undisclosed location up in the woods. I'm in a cabin, like a real cabin up in the mountains on a lake, like a real vacation, something I never do, something that does it's not really in me. I don't have this vacation instinct in me. Vacation to me is going home. I know that's funny for some people. I have friends who are just like living until their next vacation. It seems like they might get through January and some of February before they go on their vacation, need to go away. The last thing I ever want to do on vacation is get on some international flight. It goes against everything in me. I just want to stay put. So this was a little road trip, and just exactly what the doctor ordered. It's up in the woods. It's sort of like fancy cabin. I don't really want to rough it. Like I want to have a fireplace and a fire pit, but I don't want to chop wood, you know. So this is like, I mean, I'm not against it. I just don't want to have to do it. So you know, a place where the wood is chopped, kind of place for you. You know, the internet is awesome, the giant flat screen TV, you know, but also with the view of the woods, and we've been enjoying it so much, and this atmosphere of chill I've kind of enjoyed. I think being somewhere else sort of turned off my work mode, which was good. I mean, my score is still here, obviously, and still doing a podcast. You know, clearly can't stay away, but 78% of the time has been like real chill. Got out on the boat with my boy. They got some canoes down there. We hopped in the canoe. Amazing. Been a long time since I was in a canoe, but there we were floating down this finger of the lake down into the larger body of water. It was pretty cool. I'm not an outdoorsy type. I'm never going to sleep in a tent, you know, like that's not going to happen. But I do like this. I like giant plush leather couches, a refrigerator full of good things, you know, but sort of surrounded by the faux atmosphere of roughing it. There's a Kroger right down the street. Anyway, it's been actually really good. But, you know, I'm a month, basically, a little less than a month at this point. Of having been home, not on the road, and I'm itchy to work. I'm itchy to produce. There's something inside of me that cannot be turned off, and it's this need to earn and produce and work. I have been feeling that. I've devoured my score. I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start the process of Don Quixote. I'm excited to be there and to have it started and go, and this. You know, this production, without giving too much away, will not be very traditional at all, but more of a man in later stages of dementia, which is what Don Quixote is, but in a more modern setting, which I think is going to be a really unique challenge. And, you know, something most people can relate to. You know, everybody had the grandparent that got a little funny at the end, right? Started saying stuff or answering questions that hadn't been asked or talking about people in the other room that are definitely not there. Some of the paranoia, that person's here to take me. Should I go with that man? You know, we've heard lots of things. You're stealing from me. We're not stealing from you, Grandma. yeah, but there's going to be an element of that in the production, which I think is exciting. And I'll have to play aged, which is also a different thing. You know, it's been funny. So much early on in my career, I was always the old man. You start out when you're a young bass or a bass baritone, every opera needs you, which is great. So you're working, but it's very often an older person. And so it's, you have to kind of, you know, lock into this idea that you're very old when you're very, very young. And now I sort of sing the age of the guy I am. And sometimes he should be a little bit younger. That's sort of where I am currently in my career. But for this production, it'll be playing old again, but having sort of experienced a bit more of life and knowing some people who had gone through dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that. So it's going to be an interesting road to figure out. You know, and if I just drop my text in the middle of the show, you know, it was method acting. You get it. You get it. I will be in Paris soon. I go on Tuesday or Monday. Monday or Tuesday. And I'll be back with you regularly for my weekly sessions with you all here. Been watching lots of stuff. You know, it's so funny, the Instagrams. You know my love-hate with it. I do it. I am active. I'm on there a lot, like everybody. That's where I live. You know I don't run a Facebook. For those of you who have ever sent me a message through Facebook, I've never seen it. It's just sort of something that mirrors the Instagram. So I think there are people who interact with it. I'm just not there. I apologize. It's just one too many. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the next thing. I can already smell that I'm going to be on the wrong side of stuff very, very soon. And not be down with the latest trends in whatever the next social media explosion will be. Surely it's coming soon. You know how I feel. I'm so tired of the my life is perfect aspect of it, which just seems to continue without ceasing. You know, I've talked about it with a few people and PR people and asked, you know what, we keep putting up this fake life. The people, you know who you are. You know if you're guilty of it, showing your perfect family or showing your perfect vacation or showing the most perfect, you know, everything's just look at me, how wonderful my life is. And it's sort of missing that element of reality. And I remember talking it over with a good friend in PR. And I said, well, you know, what's going to happen with this? And she said, I think it's going to be more honest. I think it's going to go in the direction that you lean into the podcast, where you're just authentic and maybe show the darker side of the place of this show business life that isn't always so amazing and grateful and look at me and look at everything so wonderful and I'm sitting in business class again, you know, this kind of we got to pepper in a little more reality. I think that's why you're attracted to this. I think this is why this does well. I analyze this a lot because the podcast surprised me in its success, and it surprised me in its continued success, and it surprises me in how it grows. We just grow. We only gather listeners. We don't. If I lose people, I'm gaining more than I lose. And so, to that end, it's a growth industry, and I have to think it's because I'm just telling you how it is, and not trying to tell you how wonderful it is. And plenty of it is going wonderful. I know that too. I see it, but it's not what I'm focused on. I don't want to focus and sit here and tell you how wonderful it is. I'm certainly not going to do some internet fucking trendy dance. If I ever point the camera at myself, if I ever hold my phone up to my face and say, hey guys, just cancel me. I'm going to cancel myself if I do that. I will not address the internet as guys or some long lost friend or, you know, that sort of faux energy of this younger generation. I can't do it. I won't do it. I have to, you know, I'm trying to balance this place where the generation before me elevated in a way that created some mystery about them. They were elusive. You didn't know a lot. You didn't have to know a lot. I have to think that some of our most famous singers of the past would not have made it today because they didn't have the personality to run the online social media, the actual aspect of their character. I'm not gonna name names, but there are some real famous singers of the not too distant past that would have been terrible failures at this because they had the personalities of speed bumps and couldn't hold a candle to this. And we've proven over and over again that personality goes a long way, and access is what people sort of come to expect. And so I'm trying to float halfway between those two worlds. I like to tell you what's going on, but I don't like to get too far into the details of my life. You hear enough. I know plenty of it's been personal, but there's plenty of things that I will not talk about. And I'm never going to hit somebody in the face with a burrito. You're not going to see me do some coordinated dance with somebody else. I'm never, ever going to exploit my child. You do you, but you know, like, I have put culture on the podcast, but at least we kept it real. We kept it real. Like, and he does do an intro on here too. So maybe I do exploit my child a little bit. That's a weird world. I have a friend who works in, they have a government job, and they are interested in internet fraud, sex trafficking, a lot of domestic stuff. I guess they're Homeland Security or who knows, but, they would never let their kids anywhere near social media, nowhere near it. And for the people that investigate it to say that, you should probably listen. It should be like at least like cigarettes, like no social media until you're 18. And I think about the poor children and what they have to deal with, and we deal with this with my son a lot too, where we try something new and he's not immediately good at it, and he's instantly frustrated and doesn't want to do it anymore. And I think part of the blame is that he can get on YouTube and see somebody do that thing perfectly. The first time he sees that person do it, they're amazing at it, and doesn't understand that perfect video that you saw where the guy bowls a perfect game, or he throws the ball 100 miles an hour, or hits the touch, whatever the physical feat is. They probably filmed 1,000 of them before they got it right, and we only see the one where he got it right. And so kids are not learning that you have to do something a million times before you're even somewhat good at it. Nobody's really good at anything the first time. That's including singing. You know, like, that's a huge thing. You think somebody's just got amazing talent from when they're 12. Okay, it's one in a million. But most people are pretty terrible at this for the first 10 years. And then you sort of get okay at it. You're just hoping somebody will pay you after a little while. My God, could somebody actually pay me to do this? And then you do that. And then you grow on that and grow on that and grow on that. I'm 24 years in the making. I've heard more than one person say, you know, they've asked me my opinion. I give them my opinion. They go, oh, well, where you're Christian Van Horn, you can do that. And I go, that wasn't always a thing. To say that's a thing is fine, but that took 24 years to become that, not 2 minutes. You're not just anointed and then you can do no wrong. We all have to go along here. I remember having a conversation recently. I know I'm all over the map today, but too bad. Deal with it. I talked with a friend recently, and they're trying to start back into this business after having taken a long period off and had gone into other things. And we're trying to make a move back into opera, which is not an easy thing to do. If you've broken the chain, it's tough to get back into. It's not impossible, but it's tough. And they commented and said, you know, you're all the people that are still here, the people that have made it to the top or that are doing the big jobs in the big places. They've been doing this for 20 years. And so they all know each other. It's a club in a way. We're all aware of each other. We all have worked with each other. There's one degree of separation. If there's a big singer you haven't worked with, I guarantee you've worked with somebody who's worked with them. And it won't be long before we've all seen each other or been around each other or know of each other. There are plenty of times where I meet a singer I've never sung with, but we act like old friends because we've just been running in the same circles for years and years and years. It was an interesting observation because I hadn't really thought about it. You're like, right. I rarely meet new people my age. If I meet new people, they're young and coming, breaking through. And they are, and they're here to break through. Of course, we did too. And so I get that. So the new people that I meet are young, you know, and I very, very rarely, if ever, meet somebody new who's my age, who I at least wasn't aware of or hadn't come across their path at some point. It's just interesting observation from somebody on the outside trying to get in. You've heard people use these word gatekeepers, and whether or not that's true is not interesting to me, but there is a club of singers at a certain age and a certain level, and I remember trying to break into that club too. And then the feeling of actually being in it was needed to be illuminated to me because I didn't really even feel like I was in it. And somebody was like, yeah, but you're this, you know, and it took a long time before I realized, yeah, I'm part of the group that's still here. I'm convinced it's that we're still here. It's not whether or not we're great at what we do is arbitrary. I think we're just the ones who didn't quit or didn't find enough reason to quit. It really might be what it comes down to. That might be the secret. Write this down. The secret is just don't stop. I remember George Harrison's wife. Somebody asked in a documentary and asked her, well, how do you stay married so long? She goes, you don't get divorced. How do you get to have a 25-year singing career? Just don't stop singing. That's it. It's simple. Write that down. I'm all over the map, but I wanted to come join you. Yeah, thanks for listening to the top 10. I'll put up that number one shortly. We all know it's Lucas. You all know that. That's the king of the internet right there. Lucas is to be analyzed. It's the best book, and I know he's written books for people to read and buy, purchase. But the best book Lucas could ever write, which he never will, is how to do what he did. And what did he do? You'll have to ask him. You'll have to decide for yourself. He made himself internet champion. Very similarly to Joyce DiDonato, just ran with the internet as you do and become well known that way. That's a thing. That's a thing to be recognized and dealt with and respected, truly. It's no joke. You may not agree with the content. I know I don't. most of the time, you know, but that's to each his own. But what should be analyzed and respected is that path, because it proved that it's a path, and I did not think that it was a path, and it is most certainly a path to being known. This is what we're trying to do here, right? Songs for Dollars. I love you for listening. I'm going to check out. Everybody, have a great week. And I'll see you from Paris next week. All right, thanks, bye.